Let's take a journey. Well, welcome to A Day's Journey podcast, where we will embark on a voyage of transformation towards healing, wellness, and trusting in the guiding light of Jesus. I am so thrilled to kick off season 5, where we will delve into the profound process of uprooting traumas and strongholds while paving the way for a life deeply rooted in Christ's love. Through heartfelt conversations and personal narratives, we will explore the power of faith, self-awareness, and vulnerability in overcoming life's challenges. Our mission is clear: to offer a nurturing space where healing flourishes and being authentic reigns supreme. Join me on this journey of becoming whole as we navigate the path towards flourishing and embracing our true selves in the comforting of embracing of Christ. Let's embark together on A Day's Journey podcast, where healing and wholeness awaits. I am your host, Miyoshi Walker. I am a faith coach, grief advocate, author, and speaker. Let's embark on this journey of healing together. Let's heal out loud. Hello and welcome back to A Day's Journey podcast. I am Miyoshi Walker, your host, and welcome back to another episode of A Day's Journey. And I am glad to have you listen in on the episode and support. So we are on episode 5, part 2, and the topic is Tilling the Soil, Heart Matters. And I would like to just have this and say this disclaimer that I am sharing these episodes and experiences and things that were given based on my own experiences and counseling and praying and guidance that I've received, and also as well as research over the years. Again, I am not a professional. I am sharing experiences and the tools that assisted me with my healing. So let's get into it. I am continuing on with last week's topic, Tilling the Soil, Heart Matters. And so Tilling the Soil, Heart Matters, again, Luke 8:5-15, read in those verses where Jesus teaches about both the seed and the soil, which is necessary to grow. But the seed and the soil need that proper interaction in order to produce something. And so the seed is the word of God, and the soil is like the heart and the life that each of us have. And so in these verses, the parable is telling us that, the seed is lost when it's falling on unreceptive soil. And so, however, the seed and the soil connect properly, that's where growth occurs. Again, the topic of tilling the soil, heart matters. So in order to properly welcome the word of God in our hearts, where it can take root and grow without obstruction or any hindrances, the soil of our heart must be prepared to receive the word. And Charles Spurgeon said, I love quotes, as you guys know, or statements as well. Our heart by nature is a waste field, and a waste field produces no harvest. And again, that was written by Charles Spurgeon. So the condition, what this means to me is the condition of our heart in this state can't produce one single fruit to honor the glory of God. If it's overgrown with seeds, thorns, wild grass, and things like that, the heart is a barren field that produces no harvest, but is in desperate need of a master farmer to till it and to prepare the soil for the seed. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the heart must be made ready in order to become a beautiful vineyard for the Lord. So when God turns to any man in his mercy, there has to be an operation, the tillage that's performed upon our hearts. So just like a farmer, you wouldn't think that he or she would sow corn in a field that's just laying there in hardened soil. He wouldn't just place the seed on top of it. So he plows it first. So now that the soil has been plowed, what is needed next? So what is needed, first of all, the soil has to be broken up to make it, you know, crumbled or in broken apart where it's easier to plant something. So it has, if the soil has gotten hard, perhaps it's like a heavy clay or, you know, like a hard rock and it's all stuck together. But when it's wet and it's put together and the sun shine on it and, you know, the growth becomes in terms of the soil once the seed is planted, there's more hope there than that the seed will take good roots in such a manner that just like when we experience broken hearts, what is rooted there? What has it become hardened? Is it, you know, can it not be penetrated with something positive or forgiveness? So when a broken and contrite heart, we must thoroughly reduce those small particles for the heart to become better. It has to be tilled. It has to be, you know, turned over. The soil has to be crumbled. So in order for this to happen, in order for it to be tilled, you know, sometime our heart may be broken, but for the seed of God, you know, it can be planted there and it would never, never, never break our heart. And we can always depend and trust in God. And so as a farmer does, and as he plow, it's needed in order to destroy the weeds, in order to till that soil, in order for things that's in there to, you know, be uprooted. And some things may be killed off, small bugs, insects, and things like that. But we cannot, because we can't have things like that growing in the soil in order for something to grow. So to have those weeds that will kill what is planted, it has to be plowed. It has to be tilled. And those things have to be cut. Those weeds have to be, you know, removed. And so as it is tilled, you know, and those things are separated where something planted can begin to grow there after it's buried. It depends on, you know, how deep the soil is tilled. It depends on if you allow those things to take place. So some soils do need the extra plowing and need the extra tilling. But when we do this, for the most part, for our heart, it has to be made with that fertile soil so it can receive the seed of forgiveness, the seed of trusting God, the seed of faith, the seed of healing. And so when God can sow the living seed of the word of God into our tilled soils of our hearts, it can become fertile, allowing our souls and our hearts to become full with harvest and abundant proportions of, you know, that peace and that love and that understanding, and we can become healed. And so when we want the Lord to prepare our soil of our heart where he can plant those things that need to be planted, and so that we can become fruitful and we can become stronger, because God is the master farmer of our hearts that we need urgently. Because I know it's some things that many of us carry from childhood or personal experiences in our adulthood or growing up, or just things that we may have, you know, encountered. But in Ezekiel 36:9, it says, "For behold, I am with you. I will turn to you and you shall be tilled and sown." And so God is so great. His desire is to till our hearts and to sow seeds of his word. And because he can labor with us, he can nurture those seeds, he can water those seeds, he can plant those seeds that we need in order to grow and to become strong within him. And so let's recap part one of tilling the soil, heart matters. And remember last week, if you listened to the episode, if not, I encourage you to go back. But I spoke about, you know, some things that we have to do in order to allow God to plant those things. And so he can till, you know, the heart, our heart matters, and for us to become, you know, healed and whole and plant those seeds of the fruits of the spirit within our heart. So the first thing I spoke about last week was to acknowledge the hurt. It took me a while, as I stated, to realize this by, however, acknowledging what that hurt was and who it was. I spent a pretty good part of my adulthood pretending and suppressing that it didn't happen or minimizing the effects that it had on me, but I had to acknowledge the hurt. And then the second thing I had to do was surrender the right to want to pay back, because, you know, we can have intentions of, you know, saying, you know, I'm making sure that, you know, they feel the same way that I felt, or, you know, just giving the same energy. But that's not what God wants us to have. I had to learn that, to surrender that payback, that I had to learn that forgiveness is about freedom, my freedom. Forgiveness is not, it wasn't about surrendering that payback, and it wasn't about letting them off the hook or justifying their actions or anything like that. But that forgiveness does, you know, it doesn't guarantee that we have to do life or reconcile together. It sets you free. It set me free. So I had to surrender the right to want to pay back, because God says vengeance is mine. And then the third thing I talked about last week was about praying for them, because we must humble ourselves and ask God and in obedience and ask him to bless them and for them to come to full repentance, to see what they did, or just showing grace that God has shown us, me, a million times over. And so it may be painful to pray, but we must do it. And I'm gonna share this quick small story. So my birthday was last week. I turned another year older. I'm thankful and grateful. But however, I didn't want for anything, or, you know, I didn't request, I don't, you know, need anything like that. I am blessed. But however, if people choose to, you know, gift or bless me, I humbly receive it. But however, for my birthday, I was like, well, you know, if you send anything, I will purchase books with them. And so for my personal development and my spiritual growth and things like that, I just rather read a book, or, you know, educate myself on things, or just, I'm a reader. So I went into a bookstore, purchased some books, and one of the books was about healing and growing. And so the lady that was at the cashier, she was checking me out, but I asked for a particular book, but it wasn't in stock. And so when she researched to see if it can be available in stock, you know, she said, that's interesting. And she read what the book was about. And she said, the book is about healing and forgiveness. She said, well, that's something I have to work on. And I kind of paused, because you know how you think that, okay, a person perhaps, you know, because she was up in age, white haired, you know, Caucasian lady, very nice and personable. But when she said that, I looked at her and I was like, you know, Lord, allow me to say what I need to say to her. And she said, you know, that's something that I have to work on, which we all have been there. I've said that. I've been there before. And she said, that's interesting. But that is something that I need to do. And then so she mentioned, if you purchase the book and you have a Bible study with it, I would like to participate. Now, what taken me aback was the lady that was assisting me, she looked to be anywhere between in her 70s or 80s. And I said, you know, that's a long time to, you know, hold on to something. And who am I to say how long somebody should hold on to something? But I knew what it felt like to have the freedom in forgiving. And the thing that I mentioned to her is, I told her the thing that I try to keep in mind, if God can forgive me, who am I not to forgive others and extend the grace? And she said, you know, I never thought of it that way. So for me, I always ask God daily for an encounter. And that was my encounter for that day. And it just was so befitting for me to be led by the Spirit to speak on it. And this particular book that wasn't in stock, you know, she had to read about it to see, or she read about it or chose to read about to see what the book was about. And then she ordered it for me. And so what I'm saying is, you just never know the heart posture of people or individuals just because you see them happy, or just because you see them functioning in life, don't mean that, you know, they're not broken or not dealing with anything. So moving back into the topic. So with the help of God and the Holy Spirit that lives in us, we must clear the soil of our heart to get rid of any weeds or any impurities, any things of remnants that is not good, that's wicked, that's evil, that's mean-spirited, anything like that, that have not been planted by our Heavenly Father. And so I forgot to mention this about the lady that checked me out. She said, you know, I guess I have to work on the grudge and be in order to be able to forgive. And I said, you know, you're absolutely right. I'll be praying with you. So we must repent and we must turn from our sin. We must allow God to purify that soil in our heart, because by that tillage, by tilling the soils of our heart, and by allowing the Holy Spirit with the help of God that lives within us, that He wants to till that soil, clear that soil of any weeds that we have that we're holding within our hearts. And if we have to repent and turn away from our sin and allow God to purify that soil of our heart, because the weeds of bitterness, unforgiveness, that lust, that greed, that jealousy, envy, strife, gossip, pride, anger, whatever it is, it must be plowed over and uprooted. And when the soil of our heart is broken up and the weeds and thorns are rooted out and rooted up and removed, we can receive the word of God and become humble and know that we can extend the same grace to others by allowing that forgiveness within our heart. And so when we allow those seeds to become ingrained with us, with the word of God in us, and this is a living, powerful word that changes us every day, we can begin to grow. So let's get into the second part. So I want to talk about, so those, remember I mentioned the three things that I spoke about last week. We have to acknowledge the hurt. We have to surrender to the payback. We have to pray for them. And then the fourth thing is be open to reconciliation. Is this possible? As far as it depends, you know, we should, you know, basically be at peace with everyone, be at peace with ourselves. Romans 12 and 18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So does that seem difficult? Absolutely. Will it be hard? Yes. Can we do it? Absolutely. Because when we have a heart of God and have, you know, Him within us, He can do all things. Even though we say, I will never talk to someone or I will never deal with them, that's not always the case, because God wants us to forgive and He wants to till the soil of our heart so that we can become humble, that we can forgive, that we can grow, that we can heal, that we can get rid of all those rooted things, that unforgiveness, that strife, that pride, that anger, you know, those things that hold us captive. And I know that you might say it seems unfair, because I know what you're thinking, because I've thought it before, that, you know, why do I have to be open to this reconciliation? But I'm like, Lord, but however, the right thing in my heart posture has to be right. I have to, you know, we probably think, do I have to let them back in? If I do let them back in, they may hurt me. But God says, I have to do it to forgive them. And then when you begin to deal with guilt and shame, because sometimes you go back and forth pondering if I should or if I shouldn't, because you feel like, oh, if I forgive them or ask for forgiveness, that it may cause for me have to be obligated to become connected with that person, but not necessarily. And as we go back to the forgiveness, this is something that I had to do in order for me to forgive that person, forgive myself, or to heal. So remember me discussing about, you know, the right to surrender for payback or to punish. So our obligation as women and men of God is to pray for those that hurt us. God displayed this throughout His journey. And even though God was on the cross, he even asked for forgiveness for those individuals that have wronged him and accused him. He said, forgive those, for they know not what they do. He still offered forgiveness, even though he was on the cross dying for you and I sin. And he still asked forgiveness for those individuals that had wronged him and accused him on his dying day. But however, we have to remember that if our Heavenly Father can forgive, we can surely forgive. We can be open to that reconciliation of knowing that we can say, you know, let's talk about it, and or I forgive you, you know. And with that, it comes with that fellowship part. That's where that true repentance, that change, that trust, that respect, that we can be forgiven, and we can let go of the pain of when we can be forgiven, we can forgive others. And remember the story of Joseph in Genesis, chapters 45 through 50, where Joseph, went through seeing his brothers again. The brothers apologized, and Joseph saw how they had changed, and, the trust and the honor was back, and the respect in the forgiveness of what took place of Joseph's story, it displayed the true thing of forgiveness of those that hurt us. And, you know, I think, or I'm going to say, I 9 times out of 10 are most likely hurt more by those that are family or I'm closer to, versus if it was somebody outside of that. But however, it does not negate the fact of still the hurt and the pain of, you know, of wanting to be forgiven. So what took place with Joseph and his brothers, even though I'm sure that he went through a lot of, you know, emotions, but to see them and then forgive them, and for Joseph to display that forgiveness during a time of need. It was famine in the land where it was no food, and his brothers and family had to come to the palace in order to get the food. This displayed individuals of, you know, his brothers doing wrong and hurtful things to him. But however, he decided to forgive them and allowing that fellowship to take back and to allow to take place. It's possible to forgive, but most of the time is, it may seem impossible, but it's possible. However, we must allow forgiveness in our hearts. And 2 Timothy 2:23-25. Let me go to it. It says, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servants must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. In verse 25, it says, opponents must be greatly instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of truth. And then I continue to read, but verse 26, I'm going to read that. And it says, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. Because to me, when I think about unforgiveness and not wanting to necessarily, you know, reconcile, you know, the enemy is continue to have that thought loop through your head and say, if you forgive them, you're weak. If you go to them and want to talk it out, you're giving in, or all these thoughts and things that he plant. But in verse 26, when I read that, and it says, and they will come to their senses and escape to the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. And so do he want us to forgive? Do he want us to show grace? No, absolutely not. He wants those things to hold us in bondage. He wants those things to keep us in a place from moving forward of growth and believing and trusting in God. And so we don't have to fall in the trap of the enemy wanting to hold on to bondages. I know that I had to realize, you know, he's using you, Miyoshi, to stay in this space, stay in this state. You know, I had to learn that over the years. And so I've learned to immediately just, you know, forgive that person, forgive myself, and move on. And do he try to attempt to continue to plant those things or those seeds and say, you know, I told you you would feel this way, or look at, you know, no, don't allow that to take root. And so when you allow when you fall in the trap of the enemy and he wants to hold you in bondage, it's allowing you to keep a bitter heart and not forgiving. And you're not going to be open to reconciliation. And so with that, you have to allow that bondage and that and those thoughts to be held captive, so you do not have to, you know, hold on to them grudgingly, and that your heart can be repaired and that you can forgive and that you can reconcile in some type of way or form. But that doesn't mean that you have to go back to what was. But if you're led to, by any means, do so. And then in Titus 3:9-11, it says, but avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. In verse 10, it says, warn a decisive person once and then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. Verse 11 says, you may be sure that such people are warped and sinful. They are self-condemned. So, therefore, there's some occasions that we cannot reconcile. So if it's mental issues, abuse, continuous, you know, patterns of, you know, treating you a certain way, addictions, etc., this is the case where absolutely reconciliation is not necessary. But you can forgive those persons still. But I had to realize that I don't have to have fellowship in some instances where we have to have, you know, that connection. But I had to realize forgiveness had to be there. And so the difference is that for my own freedom, I had to, you know, forgive them. I had to let it go. I know that sometimes it can be difficult, but we have to pray for divine help and healing, for strength, for in the freedom of God, of knowing that he can allow our hearts to have this freedom by allowing that forgiveness, by allowing him to do what he needs to do. And so we have to know that even though we forgive it, we should be open to reconciliation of, you know, allowing those apologies, allowing the other person to explain, or even if you want to hear it or not, but it's definitely up to you. And so again, in Titus 3:9, I'm going to read the verse 10 that stuck out to me. Warn a decisive person once and then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. And then verse 11 say, you may be sure that such people are warped and sinful and they are self-condemned. That means they're going to just destroy themselves anyway, in terms of their mindset and their character and their heart posture. But that's why it's important to pray for them. And so going to Number five, we need to pray for divine healing, strength, and freedom. So God has been involved in the process. I know he did for me of, you know, for that divine healing, that strength, and that freedom. I know it's too difficult to do on our own. And as stated, if you need to seek professional help, therapy, psychotherapist, counseling, whatever it may be that works for you, the prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you on how to do that, we should. And if we can handle it on our own, you know, we would have already. But, you know, we can struggle and stay stagnant in this place, but we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives to help guide us through this. And so it's like having a glass wall between us. You can see through the other side, but you can't go through it. So we need God help to go through it and to get us there, even though we can see it. So just as Jesus was teaching his disciples and his friends how to pray, remember the Lord's Prayer and that line that goes, forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive them against their trespass against us. So I know that times it may be difficult, but nothing is too hard for God, so that we have to pray about it every day. Pray about it. Because when I say every day, because even if you say you forgive them, the enemy will find some type of way to try to trigger you, make you mad, or bring it back up, bring it in your thought process in order for you to remain in a space of not healing properly, or staying, you know, with that resentment or those unforgiveness thoughts in your heart and mind. So we have to come against it, even though it may be difficult, because just like Jesus is familiar with betrayal, of being hurt and with pain, we need the help of the Holy Spirit to help us through, because praying is very important. That's a key component into, you know, having that divine healing, strength, and freedom. Although we have those individuals that have been professionally trained or know, have those skill sets to help us navigate through the process. However, we still need to do our own work and still apply prayer. Prayer is very important. And then I would like to read 2 Corinthians 13 and 11. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love of peace will be with you. And so if we do this, it says, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. It's not saying sometime. It's not saying if you don't do this, we have to do it, because that's how we can have the God of love and peace to be within us. But we have to rejoice about it. There is pure freedom on the other side of peace due to obedience. And so when we do that, we can have that peace that we desire. And so 2 Corinthians 12 and 19 says, have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? We have been speaking in the sight of God as those in Christ. And everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening. So when we go through something or we experience something, it is for our strengthening of our faith, strengthening of our relationship, strengthening of our mind, of those things that we are to do on down the line. And it was times where I didn't have the strength, and I know it will be times that you will not have the strength, but I didn't have sometimes what it takes. But again, I had to face it, and I had to feel it, and I had to acknowledge it in order to heal from it. I felt moments that I wasn't equipped or strong enough to do it, but I wanted to like repay so bad. But God said, vengeance is mine. God says, I know you are at your weakest, but that's when I'm at my strongest. Lean into me. And so I had to know that no matter what I felt or how I felt like, you know, I didn't have justice in it, that God says, vengeance is mine. Because, you know, when we are at our weakest, you have to pay attention to the enemy. He never changed his tactics. You have to have a strategy. When we're at our weakest is usually when the enemy wants to attack, when you're frustrated, when you're going through the most things, he wants to try to pile it on to make you, you know, negate from what God has said. And when you learn this, and when you learn and know your things or your vices and know those things that he used against you, you know, when we are weak is when God is strong. And when we're our weakest, that's when God is his strongest, and he's stronger than us at any time. And so in Matthew 19 and 26, it says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. So God can get us through what we can't get ourselves through. Having faith and trusting in him is the key. Philippians 2, 9 through 10, it says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that was above every name. And verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So there is power in the name of Jesus. Strongholds fall down in the name of Jesus. Everything bows in his name. We have to declare faith. We have to want to be desperate for change. And so we have to know that no matter what, that is not easy, but is necessary in order for us to grow, in order for us to become more Christ-like, in order for God to purify our hearts and minds. Because how can we be blessed? How can we grow without asking and seeking those things from him? And so I was desperate for change. because I didn't want to feel like a fraud. Most importantly, I wanted the change for myself. I could not continue, or I did not want to speak. I did not want to teach about forgiveness and wasn't applying it to my life. But however, years ago, when God was working on me with healing those things within me, I was thinking, you know, I'm wasting time because, you know, this was during the time I was, you know, at home, a stay-at-home mom. I feel like, you know, I'm not even living my purpose and I'm not even being, you know, useful. But God had to remind me, no, this is the place of your purpose in this season. And I'm doing a thing that I'm perfecting in you, but I need you to heal from these things in order for you to be in the place of where you need to be when it's time, in my time and in my will, to do my will for it to be done. And so when I understood that, I understood the very things that I'm speaking. So I was desperate for change, as mentioned. Most importantly, I did not want to feel like that fraud of, you know, I can't continue to speak these things because, you know, I taught women's ministry. I was, you know, helping with the youth. I was doing all these things, going out, evangelizing, and, you know, going out and doing these things amongst our community, our church community and neighborhoods. And I was like, you know, I have to, you know, heal myself, even though I had my moments, but I still desire to do it in order for God to utilize me effectively. And so I wanted that freedom that Jesus spoke of in his word. I wanted to be set free of those deep rooted matters where those weeds or those negative things tried to bind me and have me in a place, you know, and I desire to become strong and strong in his word and strong in my faith and strong in believing God can change my heart. If I can change my heart, and so can I could change my mind. That's when I realized I could forgive, but I did not have to reconnect or reconcile with the person, because if I am led by the Holy Spirit to reconcile or reconnect or whatever it is, I know that God can do it, because he continued to tell me, I am the restorer. I am a healer. I am the way maker. I am that I am. And so I had to ask for guidance in knowing that even though that love, that desire, or whatever it may have been, if God showed me certain things about certain people, that I had to trust him. I had to trust him in the process. I had to forgive. I had to heal. I had to allow him to till my heart soil in order to remove those things that was rooted in me, because those things was rooted in me for a long time. And so I'm in a different space with myself. I went through painful processes. I had to forgive. I'm looking in that rearview mirror. I am free. When I speak to you, I'm speaking to myself. I'm still encouraging myself. Do those thoughts try to creep back up? Sometimes, yes, absolutely. But I speak back to them and tell them they do not belong. But you have to speak daily to those things that try to creep back up. And you have to speak with power and authority that we have been given and that we can obtain, and that we have to tell those thoughts that you don't have power over me to hurt me anymore. That's where the enemy wants to keep you. You just like, you know, we have to continue to speak over ourselves. You just have to have the will to get past it, to get rid of it. And it will become a thing of the past. It'll be part of your story, but not who you are or who you become. You have to declare freedom. When you declare something that has been signed and agreed to it, you're declaring it. You have to declare that you're free. I have been, you have to realize that you've been held in captive too long, and that you know what it feels like to live with it. Because when I tell you, when I lived with it for decades, I felt like a prisoner. I felt so heavy. I felt bound. I've learned and learning what it feels like to be totally free. So do those thoughts, as mentioned, creep back up? Yes. Do I give into it? No. That's where the enemy wants me back, in those thoughts and those feelings, so that I will not forgive and I feel a certain way. And so let's experience freedom. Let's let go. Let's forgive and break the chains, break those walls down, and we can live those spirit-filled lives of knowing that we can trust God in no matter what we do, and allow him to till the soil of your heart matters, and allow him to uproot those weeds and those things that no longer need to be there, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for listening to another episode. So, dear friends, step in and feel the gentle embrace of our community as we walk together on the path to healing and wholeness. Make sure you tune in every Tuesday by 4 p.m. to listen to Season 5 of A Day's Journey podcast. Don't forget to set those reminders, share, and leave a review. You can listen to A Day's Journey podcast on all podcast platforms. You can listen on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, and more. Please remember to join our community on Facebook at A Day's Journey Podcast or Instagram at A Day's Journey Podcast. Or you can send an email to adaysjourneypodcast@gmail.com if you have any questions or would like to speak with Miyoshi. Here are a few resources. Please purchase the Heal Out Loud Grief Journal by Miyoshi Walker, where you can find on Amazon.com. Also, please leave a review once you have ordered it and received it. Also, please listen to A Day's Journey podcast on Apple and Spotify or your podcast platform of choice. But remember, please leave a review and share. I'm going to share my stories, my journey on healing, the deep-rooted things that are rooted, those things that are issues or traumas. These things show up in our lives daily, and it's time for them to be uprooted and for us to become rooted in Christ. I hope that you can join me every week. Let's begin our journey of flourishing, living, and becoming rooted in Christ. So make sure you tune in every Tuesday by 4 p.m. to listen to Season 5 of A Day's Journey podcast. Don't forget to set those reminders, share, and leave a review.